Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
But I think ultimately collective bargaining from a federal level...
The greatest president in history, according to the American people, with their limited memory...
There's nothing in this world that would stop a mother.
It's incredible. And, you know, I just... what's the crazy part?
She indicates that she had been rear-ended.
Come on, take it from Barack Obama.
World-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and let me tell you, we go places other talk shows can't go. Yes, it's Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and we're keeping our eye on these terrible events globally, one in New Zealand having to do with the earthquake, and I think there's one other event, Bud, if you can, you know, next hour with our news hour with Bud and Robert, we'll be into a lot of this stuff, but this earthquake in New Zealand was quite devastating, and we'll update you on whatever needs to be updated. Our number is 877-876-7445 here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots. That's our Patriot line, 877-876-PHIL. And a 20-year-old driver has earned an historic win at the Daytona 500, and joining us this hour to talk about it will be Jeff Dowder. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of your comedy needs. And we have a lot going on over there, including live streaming video of the show, as well as all of those archives. This is the, in our opinion, in our humble opinion, this is the only place really left on the internet for, a real good radio show website. Thousands of hours of archives to check it out. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Jeff Dowder, who is a professor of mechanical physics, part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech University, joins us. And, Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's good to be with you.
Young rookie Trevor Bayne's Daytona 500 victory hasn't sunk in yet. And it's not enough that the Daytona 500 champion turned 20 years old on... 20 years old the day before the race, making him the youngest driver ever to win. He's also the first rookie to ever win this race.
It's incredible. And, you know, I just, what the crazy part is, there's guys, race car drivers, you know, Tony Stewart, so many drivers out there that haven't had the opportunity to win this. So for us to come in at our first one, I mean, I feel almost bad about it, coming in and spoiling all the fun for everybody and getting that 600th win for Ford and just, you know, but those guys are the ones that laid the foundation. They're the ones that, the reason we still have this sport and I was able to do this. So it's really cool to be the winner of this deal, but it's because of everybody around me and those legends like you were talking about. I mean, we got to work with Jeff Gordon in that race, a lot of people, and that was just incredible.
Jeff, I know you follow NASCAR, and let's just get to it here. Where do you? I know that you've had a couple of questions, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about this particular Daytona 500 win. Now, you and I were talking, and we didn't get into it, but Jeff Gordon, I think, was the next youngest. He won the Daytona 500 in 1997. I think he was 25 or 26. Now we have the youngest. Now we have the first rookie. And the first guy to win it his first time at bat. Isn't that what we heard him say? So what are your questions?
Well, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the Wood Brothers, who were the team that Trevor Bayne was driving for. I don't want to take anything away from, the people, at NASCAR or the race or any of the sponsoring entities, or the I think it was a Chevrolet drove, I'm not sure, but I think we have to remember that, racing has changed a lot since the early days of NASCAR racing. You know, I'm not from that part of the country where NASCAR racing got going. You know, we're talking about, the Deep South or parts of the Carolinas, but I did, start following it very early on because I liked the idea of stock American cars, achieving these amazing speeds and these great drivers. But now, as you get toward this period of time, and as things started, that they're investing in more in terms of safety, they invest in more in terms of radio equipment, they invest in more in the engines, I think that, when you talk about the engines, we're not talking about grease monkeys anymore. We're talking about people who have to you know, put the engine, put the motor on a computer, and all of the apparatus in the cockpit of the car that the driver deals with. You know, you're really not dealing with the complications that you did deal with at the dawn of NASCAR racing.
All right. Well, I mean, I've seen the improvements in cars, and we've all seen it, no matter what the level of racing, the automobile, especially at NASCAR, where the cars are no longer these missiles. If you lose control, it's just one big block of steel flying through the air. These automobiles come apart. The cage is safe. The tires are better. The fuel is safer. You know.
Well, yeah, you should see some fires. Yeah.
But what are you saying? Is that all you're talking about?
No, I'm what I'm saying is, if you're talking about Trevor Bayne winning this race at 20, you know, good for him, and you know, I'm not going to take nothing away from him. But you can't tell me that took as much, you know, how do you say it? That took as much courage, or it took as much stamina to win it, as say, you know, Richard Petty in 1979, or you know, Buddy Baker in whatever year, or you know, whoever.
And what do you mean? Okay, explain that.
Well, because you don't have to, as a driver, you don't have to do as much anymore. As a driver, you got the. If you've seen on television, they'll show you the different races on the TV, and one thing you do see are the drivers have the headsets on. You also see that now, and I was watching yesterday, you can hear the communication between the pit and the driver. They're basically telling them everything of what to do. And they're also, what I'm trying to say is the cockpit has the ability, in the car has the ability to probably at some point you can autopilot it. Now, I'm not saying that they would.
Autopilot?
Well, I mean, I'm saying that they do have the technology to do that. I'm not saying necessarily that they would, but you can drive that car from the pit. You can drive that car from the pit.
Let's get down to it. If you put me in that car or put you in that car, could we win the Daytona 500?
It's a good question. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a very good question. I'd like to think that, and I believe that, you know, give me 6 months, and
6 months, and you could get in that car and win the Daytona 500?
Because of how advanced racing's gotten. And racing's gotten way advanced. It's gotten way, way down, you know, it's way down the road, further down the road than I think a lot of people think that it is.
All right, we're talking here to Jeff Downer. He's with Caltech, a professor of mechanical physics, about the Daytona 500, won by the youngest driver ever yesterday, Trevor Bayne, at the age of 20. Our number is 877-876-7445, and what you're saying here, Professor Downer, is basically winning the Daytona 500 now is nowhere near as difficult as it was how long ago?
Well, I think it's way easier than it was when you mentioned Jeff Gordon in 97, and that was easier. I think it gets easier. But we did pass a certain point where now, you know, the mechanics and everything and the different stuff, you know, that they've got in the car, like the radios and autopilot and the steering wheel can be probably remote controlled if you want.
I've never heard of that or seen that.
I'm just saying it stands to reason that it would be that if the driver were to pass out, okay, are you telling me that car is just going to go haywire and kill, you know, slam into people? I don't think so. What happens is you see the driver's passed out, you take control of that car, and, you know, you could take a few laps in it. I mean, you could drive it around the track a couple of times to get it into the pit.
Well, then why don't they do that when cars are crashing?
Well, because the driver is still in control of the car. I mean, you're not going to take the wheel away from the driver at that point, because then he's going to be fighting for the wheel, not knowing that you've taken over. And
you could tell him by way of radio, let us have the car.
That's not a good time to tell a driver that he's going to, you know, give over control of the car to somebody in the middle of a spin out. You better just let him have it and, you know, say your prayers. But I wouldn't want to take off and say, yeah, I'm going to take over the car now, so just take your hands off the wheel, because if you did that and you got it back to the pit safe, you're going to have a driver jumping out of that car coming after you. Know, he's going to come at you. You know, so I would say if a driver passes out, if he faints,
when would a driver faint? I mean, I can understand some kind of a physical problem.
Well, the speeds get pretty hairy. The situations get pretty hairy, where a driver might just look at everything he's involved in terms of how intense it all is, and just because it's overwhelming, he could black out or faint just at how intense it is. I'm not, if he wasn't, you know, in the best of shape, that's when you take over. And it's conceivable that you could win the race even with a driver just slumped over. You know,
you're kidding.
No, I mean, I'm just saying technologically.
I'd love to see the day that a car wins the Daytona 500 with a driver passed out.
That's correct. But again, not to take anything away from Trevor Bayhn, but that's the technology we have now. So if you have a Trevor Bayhn winning the Indy 500 now, and you know that Jeff Dowder could win it same way if you gave me 6 months worth of...
You know, I want to interrupt you here. What do you think Trevor Bayhn would say to you, or any NASCAR driver say to them, well, you know, the advances in the sport are such that I could take 6 months of training and I could win the Daytona 500. What would they say?
Well, I think they'd have to say, oh, you're crazy, because they got to protect the sport. But I think deep down, you know, and away from the microphones and the cameras, they'd probably resent you for saying what's true and real it is.
877-876-7445. The winning of the Daytona 500 by Trevor Bayhn yesterday. He says it hasn't sunk in. We have Jeff Dowder, a professor of mechanical physics, saying that to win the Daytona 500 now is not that big of a deal than it used to be. And Professor Dowder, just so we're comparing, you say, for instance, winning this year's Daytona 500 and Jeff Gordon in 97 and Richard Petty.
Well, I mean, Gordon, you needed to have stamina and skill at a certain level. But, you know, with Richard Petty, you had to just flat out be good. With Trevor Bayhn, you're not even, you know... I mean, with Trevor, I mean, you know, it's not, it just isn't that big of a deal. It just isn't.
All right, your phone call is coming up next here, 877-876-7445. I don't know what they've done to cars these days, but I tell you, they gave him a lot of praise, man, yesterday, talking about how well he ran that race. 877-876-7445. Winning the Daytona 500 just isn't as difficult as it used to be as a driver. Anybody with 6 months' worth of training, because the cars are that advanced. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, 877-876-7445.
Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Call screen.
That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-7445. And we have on the line here Jeff Dowder. We talk about the Daytona 500. It's a very interesting conversation we're having here, because I don't know that much about automobile racing. But what you're saying, Jeff, with the victory of Trevor Bayhn yesterday, you're saying it's not even a sport anymore?
I mean, look at it. You got a 20-year-old guy winning the Daytona 500. That's unheard of. That's unheard of. Because
well, I know it's unheard of, because it was unheard of that a 25-year-old guy would win it.
No, but it's unheard of because of the fact that this is traditionally been a really difficult sport, you know, to be a NASCAR driver, and now gradually more and more, they have technological improvements. They've had improvements in the computers and the remote control, autopilot, everything. So, you know, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not a sport no more. And if you got a sport that goes I don't know what you want to call it. You got a sport where your mom can do it, and you got a sport where, you know, I could do it. Do you call that a sport?
Or I call it. I don't know if it's true that you can do it, that your mom can do it.
I'm a professor of mechanical physics. I'm telling you right now, you give me 6 months, I could sit in a NASCAR car, and the pit crew could be doing most of it by remote control, you know?
Well, what you said to me was you could lay down and take a nap, and you'd be able to race.
No, I did not say that. I said with a couple of...
Well, yes, you did. You said you could conceivably win the race.
No, I said with a couple of laps left, they could nurse you in. If you were slumped over, they could still nurse you in.
Are you telling me from the pits they can do 200 miles an hour and they can...
Hey, you know, with... I mean, if you've got a sport that's basically has the technology to do it with a joystick, you know...
Well, you're not telling me that that's what they're doing. You're saying they have the technology to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So how tough is it? Well, we can hire a 20-year-old driver because, after all, we can joystick it in. And, you know, he could be slumped over.
No, all right. I find that very almost impossible to believe unless you can tell me for a fact that that technology is right now applicable online and ready to go.
I'm telling you, Mr. Hendry, there's a reason a 20-year-old guy won a Daytona 500, and it isn't because we're growing drivers better. Are you kidding me? It's because there's technology coming out of it. It's technology that's just pouring out of your ears on how NASCAR did it.
877-876-7445. You know, that's a long way from, a lot of your arguments here, Docker, have to do with, well, you know, are you kidding me? I mean, it stands to reason, all this stuff. Here's Scott in Greensboro, North Carolina. Scott, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jeff Dowder.
Hey, I'd just like to tell that guy, there's been a lot of advances in technology, but still, you've got to have raw talent to be out there and race.
Well, I mean, but how much, man? If you... You know, have the pit telling you, okay, go left, go right, go straight, you know, slow down. I mean, that's an advantage that David Pearson never had that. Richard Petty did not have that. Buddy Baker never had Fireball Roberts sure didn't have that. All of a sudden, you got a guy there, Trevor Bayne, 20 years old. You know, I mean, I don't mean no disrespect or anything, but he's just out of his mom's house, and he's all, okay, Trevor, slow down, go fast, turn left, turn right, you know, okay, pit here. He didn't even know how to get to the winner's circle. He didn't know how, or not winner's circle, but what do they call it?
Pit row?
Yeah.
No, he knew how to get to pit row.
The winner
he's
thing.
He's been racing his whole life.
Well, when you say he's been racing his whole life, when he was 10, what was he racing? Tricycles? Probably.
He
used to race with them.
Go-karts. Those things go 50 miles an hour.
Yeah. 50 miles an hour, big deal.
When you're 10?
Some of them go 120 miles an hour.
A go-kart when you're 10 years old, 120 miles an hour? I don't think so. I don't think
so.
They're not going to let no kid drive something like that. Don't you think, though, if you, Scott, you're from North Carolina, that's like the home of NASCAR. Don't you think they could put you in a car, and if you passed out from the fear or whatever happened, they'd be able to nurse it back in?
Absolutely not. I mean, they're advanced, but they're not advanced that much.
They couldn't take control of the car? Well, but you know they got the technology to do that.
You know, you keep saying they got the technology. That's one thing. It's another thing to actually have it applied. In other words, it's another thing to have it in the car.
Well, I'm not convinced they don't have it in the car. You're telling me, sir, that if you passed out at the wheel...
What is this passing out at the wheel thing, man? You're assuming the drivers are going to be going so fast they're scared and they pass out.
Yeah.
Absolutely
and that's
not.
When,
I mean, I've been raised around racing. You know, my daddy races. My uncle races. They all race cars. I mean, they've got technology a whole lot better than they used to 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. But they do not have that good of technology right now. If they did, why wouldn't they have cars out on the road?
Well, they don't have it in cars on the road because the NASCAR guys got to test it out and make it good before they do that, you know?
But they don't test it out like that.
You can't. Don't tell me what your dad's name is, because. Does your dad and your uncle drive NASCAR?
They drive A Speedway. It used to be a NASCAR track, but last year it's unaffiliated.
Well, I mean, what is it, like Demolition Derby?
No, it ain't Demolition Derby. They're doing racing.
Not. Doing Figure Eight? Is it Figure Eight?
No, it ain't Figure Eight. Hey, listen,
no,
Scott, thanks for your. Thank
track.
You. Regular circle. Thank you very much, Scott. 877-876-PHIL. Has the racing gotten to the point now where you don't need to be all that good? It's the technology is that advanced. A 20-year-old young man won the Daytona 500. 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Are you kidding me? I could slump sideways.
Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You have the right to do anything you want. We're talking with Professor Jeff Dowder here about NASCAR racing and the fact that the Daytona 500 was won by a 20-year-old driver. It's quite an achievement. And that young man was at the end of the race, their final few laps, was second or third. Okay.
Yeah, and again, a rookie. And it just so happens that he needed to have a top five finish, or he was going to have no sponsorship for the second half of the season. I mean, see, there's just too much there, man. And
what do you mean there's too much there? Look, here's a guy that wasn't even going to win the race had that David Ragan guy not taken that lane change, right?
Yeah.
Okay, he wasn't even going to win the race.
What are you talking about?
The guy that was leading the race got his ass. He was black flagged when they restarted. I don't know how many laps they had left. Four laps, three laps. He restarted the race, and he changed lanes before they went across the start line.
What's that got to do with Bane?
When that dude got black flagged, Bane was moved up to first because he was in second.
Okay, well, and that's another example of it.
What?
Of the technology.
That's not technology. That's not technology at all. It's that the other driver made a mistake. David Ragan. What did I say? Yeah, David Ragan.
What about him?
I already told you, man. David Ragan, this dude, he got his ass black flagged because of that lane change, and the next thing you know, he's out, and here comes Trevor Bayne.
Well, and again, that proved the technology, because Trevor Bayne would not even have been in the position he was in. I'm not saying he's not a good driver, but we'll never know, because he won't have to be as good as David Pearson, won't have to be no as good as A.J. Foyt, won't have to be no good as Cale Yarborough. And A.J. Foyt, I mean, he was more of an IndyCar guy.
Yeah, and meaning what?
Well, I mean, that's how good he was, you know.
All right. 877-876-7445. I don't even think you know what I'm talking about here, man, because I'm talking about something totally different. Here is Trish in Flagstaff, Arizona. Trish, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jeff Dowder.
Well, hello.
Hello, Ben.
Sir, I'm sorry. I can't even remember your name, but I really don't.
Oh, my name's Jeff Dowder. It's Jeff
Dowder. Sorry?
Jeff Dowder.
Jeff Downer or Doucher? D-O-U-T-T-E-R?
Dowder. D-O-W-D as in, D as in what?
David.
D as in David, E-R, yeah.
Okay, well, I, no disrespect, sir, but, I don't think you have any idea as to what you're talking about. This gentleman won a race.
Yeah.
He won
right.
It with his driving ability. And
he can't really say gentleman. He's not even old enough to vote, you know. Or
well,
not vote, but drink.
Well,
you can call him a gentleman.
His driving ability, but as the circumstances happened, is how he won it. And you, and yes, he is a rookie. So we have just this one race, just because it was a Daytona 500, doesn't mean that he is going to be at the bottom of the last one to complete the races in the future. You don't have any idea what's going on. You've never run a race,
yeah,
but you don't even know.
Well, are you telling me that do you think it's just he's 20 years old and the next earliest was 25 and that happened in the last 10 years? Okay,
it doesn't
you're
matter
not telling
how
me.
You are. You know
yeah,
what
it does in my opinion.
No, it does.
What?
Your opinion. I have an opinion too. We all have
okay.
one. But
okay.
My
yeah, but you know what they say about opinions. Opinions
yeah.
are just like
okay. You don't have to finish that. We know what
I'm
you
not
mean.
I'm not going to say anything. We're all
not you, but I was talking.
Oh God!
No kidding.
What?
Oh God! I tell you anyway. Let me tell you something, sir. I'm 55 years old, and I have done some drag racing in my time, and that is a straight course. Nobody has to tell you anything. You just drive, and you just do it yourself.
What?
But,
no, but drag racing takes more than
just... are, things happen.
No, you don't know. Drag racing...
happen. So unless you have been behind a wheel and done in any kind of racing, you don't have any room to talk or any ability to sit there on the radio and spout you're not phenomenal.
That's like saying, because I'm not a fireman, I don't have no right to talk about house fires. That's ridiculous. Of course I do.
No,
and
you
I'm
don't.
Saying, yeah, if I'm not a fireman, I can't talk about fires? You forget it. You're way... And another thing, I've gone 150 miles an hour going between L.A. and San Diego on a lot of runs down there. Also, If you don't know, drag racing, all you got to do is pop the clutch. What do you know about it? You know.
A minute ago, you said it didn't. She said it didn't take anything, and you said it did.
Yeah, pop the clutch.
Pop the clutch.
Okay.
Shit that baby.
I'm not sure you guys.
You've missed it. And you've lost it.
Yeah, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're drinking your dinner. But
Hey! Come on. Anyway, Trish, thank you for your call. Our number 877-876. Phil, here is Bruce in Atlanta. Go ahead, Bruce. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
I agree. I'm good. I just want to say one thing. I agree that drag racing is not just... You got to know how to run a dragster.
Of course you do.
All right. But it isn't just popping the clutch. Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, Phil, I appreciate you taking my call tonight. I'm really wondering if this guy is truly an engineer and an educator. Jeff, first of all, you were a little...
Because I don't agree with a lot of the people that are making opinions doesn't mean that I'm not an educator. I mean, you heard that lady. She don't know what you're talking about. And she don't even know what popping the clutch is.
Okay, well, that was Trish. This is Bruce now, first of all. Secondly...
Oh, okay, sorry.
You really don't have an idea of what these guys go through when they're racing. You said their stamina it doesn't have to be where it used to be. Not true. These guys lose about 10 to 15 pounds in just water from racing 500 miles. 500 miles would take a toll on anybody's body. You better be in tip-top shape to do it. Matter of fact, Jimmy Johnson now is setting the example for that. Tony Stewart this past season has lost 10 to 15 pounds. And you look at those guys that are racing, I don't see one of them that are overweight in their fire suit.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about keeping yourself trim, okay, what's that got to do with what we're saying? We're talking about, having a skill to...
Let's go back to the technology.
I mean, if this is the Jack LaLanne show, we can talk about how trim... but I don't want to do that.
No, we're not. The gentleman is saying that these guys are undergoing and enduring a physical. It's an endurance.
Right.
Well, I mean,
exactly.
Okay. Water weight. Yeah, water weight.
And it's nothing that we could train for in 6 months to go out there and do it. First of all, these guys.
Man, give me a canteen of water. I won't lose so much water weight.
First of all, these guys have come up as younger kids. In their teenage years. Racing on dirt tracks. They know how to maneuver a car when it starts to slide. They know how to press that accelerator when they need to. They know how to back off when they need to. I tell you what,
they're telling them how to do that from the pits. They're already radioing them the information that they need.
You said that you could, because of today's technology, you could get behind the wheel and do this in 6 months. I'm going to tell you what, you get behind that wheel doing 195 miles an hour and somebody bump thrash you down that backstretch of Daytona, you're going to soil your bridges because there's no way. You make one wrong move, buddy, I'm going to tell you what, you will be spinning around and around about four or five times.
That's when they can take over from the pits, though. They can take over from the pits by adjusting the spoiler. And the spoiler will make the guy back off or get or snug him right up.
They could do that, but they don't do that now. That's not the technology. That's not the
NASCAR.
I mean,
What's this gay thing?
Hey, look, if you want to go to Mamby Land on this thing, we can
get
a racetrack up on the moon and race around up there. But that's not the case.
What?
I mean, they
don't the moon,
do,
man.
They
how are you going to get the crews up there? I don't understand the moon comment.
He's talking about how you're fantasizing here, Jeff, and you've got this whole thing about how, hey, why don't we control the spoiler? That way we can, you know, control the drafting so the cars don't have to do anything.
I'm telling you right now, and this man just admitted to me they had a technology. I personally think that whole drafting thing is about as gay-looking. You know, and I don't know what they're trying to do when they're snugging, you know, yeah, let me snug up in there.
What?
Well, I just think it looks ridiculous.
Who cares what it looks like, man? It's a piece of racing, it's a strategy.
That's my point, Phil. This guy has no idea what he's talking about, because if you don't draft a Daytona, you are left so far behind the pack that they will lap you within 20 laps. I've been to Daytona. I've seen the race live myself. And I know for a fact that's what happens. And
if you were a driver at Daytona, you want a guy snug up in there, I wouldn't. What a dumb thing to say, Jeff.
I know you're a fan out there. You want to be a fan. You want to root for these guys. But
I do.
You really don't have a clue, man. I'm trying to tell you guys,
you're telling me that if you were a driver, you'd want a guy nosing it right up in there. God, man.
What difference does that make?
Push me on. Absolutely.
They got something else in mind.
You know what, man? Grow up.
Mr. Henry,
no, grow up, all right? This is a technique they use in racing now, and they can use in NASCAR. They may not be able to use it so much in the open wheel, but they use it and to great effect, and you're sitting there talking about how gay it looks. What does that make you?
He thinks that this rookie was not good enough to win this race. Well, let me tell you, that the best driver ever in NASCAR, it took him just about his whole career before he won that race. And
That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. When Dale Sr. was a good driver, but this guy, that proves my point. That proves Dale Sr. was a great driver. This kid, he gets out of a playpen, and he's the king. Man, I don't get it.
Yeah, I know you don't get it. That's what we're. Thank you very much. I got to take a break, but very good call, Bruce.
Dale Sr. could have won that race a lot of times, Jeff, but he didn't because of luck. He did not have luck on his side, and this kid did.
Very good, Bruce. Thanks for your call. 877-876-7445. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk with Jeff Dowder, professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. Did Trevor Bayne, was he really good enough to win the Daytona 500, or is he just a young man at a time in racing where the technology is so good you don't have to be a good driver? That's the question that he's asking, and, of course, you know the opinion of myself and my callers. 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
We got Professor Jeff Dowder here with us as we talk in our final segment about the Daytona 500 and the winner, Trevor Bayne, And I just don't want to. I know what your opinion is, Jeff. I don't want to take anything away from this young man. It was a great race. He was a very humble winner, very skillful win, held off that one driver, whoever it was, Edwards, there at the end to win the race. And I think he should be given that. Now, you were talking, we'll get to a call about collision alarms. I tell you what, let's get to the calls.
Well, collision alarm.
Hold on. I want to get to the call first, then we'll talk about what you think a collision alarm is supposed to do. Here is Charlie in Miami. Go ahead, Charlie. You're on the Phil Andrews Show.
Yeah, how you doing? I just have to disagree with the professor 100%. It takes a driver to win a race. It takes a team and a crew.
It used to, yeah.
The driver can drive. Trevor Bayne can drive. He's been driving since he was a kid, stepping up from go-karts to midgets all the way up to get the NASCAR. It takes a driver. I think you're confusing Formula One technology with NASCAR technology. There is no wing adjustment. There's no computers. There's nothing in those cars but safety equipment. That's where NASCAR puts their technology at, is in safety and keeping the cars even. Formula One has traction control, launch control. They can adjust the wings while they're driving the car. NASCAR cannot.
They got spoilers on the cars that in the cars they drive on the track at the, you know, the ones that go in a circle.
The ones that go in a circle?
Is that what Indy cars? Indy cars is totally different. NASCAR has fixed wings.
NASCAR has fixed wings.
They're not adjustable. NASCAR has fixed wings, not adjustable wings. They're fixed wings. They are set at one position, and that's the way they're set the whole time. NASCAR mandates carburetors, restrictor plates. Everything is mandated by NASCAR to be equal on every car. Nobody can have a different car. Their measurements, the cars are measured before and after the race. Everything is measured. It has to be equal. It takes a driver to win the race.
They got radios in the car, and on the radio, they're telling the guy how to drive.
They're not telling them how to drive. All the spotters doing is telling them, you have a car high, you got to have a car low. That's all he's telling him. A car high and a car low. Because he doesn't have mirrors to look. He doesn't have mirrors to see. He's just telling them, go faster.
They'll say.
How do you know that?
They're wide open. They do not let off that gas. They're wide open all the way around.
There are areas where they could go faster, but they lay off of it because they're not sure whether the kid can handle it.
They lay off of it to conserve fuel if they think they're not going to make it to the end and they don't want a pit stop. So they come to confuse, hold back, and save fuel. So at the end, we'll be there when everybody else runs out.
You're right about that, but also in case the kid gets scared.
There's no scared. The kid is not going to get scared. If he was going to get scared, he wouldn't be in that car. I've driven at Daytona. I'm an SCCA member. I'm a road racer. I've driven at Daytona.
Okay.
And
you're
that banking, that banking in Daytona is scary. It is scary.
You're on a road race course. You don't go as fast on a road race course as they do on the circle one.
What is it with circle one? You know, you're telling me that you are a NASCAR fan. And going in a circle, you mean a NASCAR oval track?
Yeah.
Okay, then say it.
I'm saying as best as I can that kid Trevor Bayne, the technology's too advanced. You can't tell me that a 20-year-old guy wasn't getting big-time help, you know, from probably...
The cars are equal all the way around. If it was so easy, Jeff Gordon would win every single one. Tony Stewart's a great driver. He drives everything. He drives Indy. He drives off-road. Right. He drives midgets. He drives everything and wins in everything. He has never won the Daytona 500.
It
takes a little bit of luck.
What?
A little bit of luck. Trevor Bayne
if Jeff
no
Gordon
mistakes,
is a great driver, then how come Jeff Gordon ain't one if everything's mistakes. Equal? See, I just made my point.
I didn't. What
Trevor
was your
Bayne
point?
He made no mistakes. That's why he won the race. He made no mistakes. He was in the right
he
place
made no
at
mistakes.
The right time. He didn't make no mistakes. No mistakes.
He made
that's what wins the race.
He made one mistake. He let me see the race. And as long as I've seen it, I will be carrying the message far and wide.
You're going to be carrying what message far and wide? That the kid wasn't good enough? I think this is a very good call from Charlie, who has the practical experience.
Well, I'm just saying, he's 20 years old. All of a sudden, he's what? He's the world beater? I mean, where did he get his skill? And you just said Jeff Gordon would win it, but all the cars are equal, so how come Jeff Gordon don't win it? I'll tell you why. Because they don't give him enough good, you know, instructor, you know, advice.
What? Jeff Gordon needs advice?
Brother,
he needs advice on how to...
A borrowed car on an old team that has no funding, and you're going to tell me the kid didn't drive? And to win that race.
Yeah, that was that's true. That's the Wood Brothers. They had no money. They were part-time.
Car. They borrowed that car from Jack Roush.
That was a part-time team, you know.
Well, yeah, but they also borrowed the radio equipment and the computers, too.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, Charlie, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-7445. Ray in Buffalo. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, as far as your guess is concerned, I think you better start watching their Speed Racer cartoons.
Right.
Well, with a NASCAR team, with a NASCAR driver, it's equipment, driver, team. The kid knew what he was doing. He did everything correct. As far as his father's concerned, like the other car said, it's high, low. Right? He can't see around him. That's what the spotter's there for. Now,
what about the collision alarms? What about collision alarms that they have? It goes, you know, it makes the beep, beep, beep.
There's no collision alarms in a NASCAR car.
Oh, are you kidding me, man? If you get too close, it goes,
The only collision prevention they have is the spotter. The spotter can tell them if there's a guy getting loosened behind, in front of him, he'll say, go high. If he's up high when he gets
the guy's too loose behind him, well, okay. The collision alarm, they may not have had it at Daytona, but I think they've had it at other races. The guy's going, you're going to hit the wall. You're going to get it. And he goes, I know. I know already.